So we're about to go ahead with our lesson for the day. This will be from, let me get this out of the way here, from chapter 5 in the light. And we're going to explore Israel's fall, somewhat related to what we've been talking about, and how it relates to catching up of the body of Christ in the larger picture of things. The revelation was sent to God's people of prophecy. That was revelation. Prophecy, it became written down as prophetic. It was to Israel, though. Israel received all the prophecies of God. They were given the oracles of God, Romans 3:2. They were, they received promises, covenants, and later the law. It was added later. But the revelation is about that remaining, you know, the book of Revelation, about that remaining 70th week of Daniel, and beyond it even. But largely, that's the majority of the book is taken up with the 70th week of Daniel, what Jeremiah calls the Jacob's trouble. And he does, Jeremiah doesn't divide it in half and say you got to have more trouble or less trouble or no trouble and lots of trouble or anything, and little tribulation and great tribulation. He just says there's going to be Jacob's trouble. So, but Paul talks about the beginning of the revelation using the word until in Romans 11:25. We can look at Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, this distinguishing it from other mysteries he's told, but lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So that until there's not going to be the beginning of the revelation events or the tribulation until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We're out of here. That's the end of the body of Christ on earth. Both the dispensation of the gospel and the dispensation of the grace of God will be over with. You know, just like in the twinkling of an eye, there won't be any more chance for unbelievers to believe. They'll be told they can believe in the grace of God, just like people today in the dispensation of the grace of God are telling people that they can, you know, benefit or impress God by keeping the law. I've even heard them say more than once that we don't have to keep the law, but God gave the law. It must be what He wants. We can we're pleasing God to keep the law. Well, that's just not true. What pleases God is that we recognize what the law was for, that we're sinners, showing us that we're sinners. And that's, you know, what Paul said there in 1 Timothy 1:15, that we need to follow him being the chief, the first one in, as a sinner, not a law keeper. He was condemned. He was unforgivable in Israel's doctrine when Christ reached out and saved him. So when the last believer in Paul's gospel of Christ being crucified for our sins, when the last believer has believed that's going to believe it, then that'll be the fullness of the Gentiles being come into the body of Christ. No more will come in. It's full. Not that there's not room, but there's no more. It's a supply, a demand. Well, I don't know how to put it in those terms, but there's just nobody else that chooses to get into the body of Christ, believing that Christ died for their sins. The last one will have believed. So at that time, the body of Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and Israel's blindness will no longer be upon them, according to that verse we just read. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So this is what is seen in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're not going to get into that. That's Israel's book. And it was by Israel's apostle, John, one of their apostles, written to Israel that John himself pledged to go to and to go to the circumcision there in Galatians 2:9. So it's not to us and about us. Back when Christ walked the earth, and shortly after that, Israel had its own idea of what they wanted. And the Lord allowed them to follow their own will instead of the will of God. And you can see that in Matthew 23, verse 37. As well as in all the actions that Christ allowed. Christ allowed the crucifixion and Israel's rejection of their Messiah in Acts 1 through 8. You can especially see God allowing Israel to make its own choice instead of God's choice in Acts 7. Over and over and over through Israel's brief synopsis there. I mean, Stephen's brief telling of Israel's history. You can see that they went away from God, brought back, and went away from God, and they were brought back, and they just kept straying. So they, but in Acts 7, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the stoning of Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. And immediately after Christ's ascension back to heaven, Peter was preaching that if all Israel would believe the gospel of the kingdom, that the gospel that Peter preached, that Jesus would come back to reign over the world from Israel. That was part of the offer, you know, that's starting with John the Baptist, that it was at hand, that it was nearby, within their grasp. They just had to believe. Of course, God had full knowledge that, you know, from the beginning, he knew that, well, according to Matthew 1:21, God had arranged to send Israel a Savior who would save his people, Israel, from their sins. So God knew about all that. He wasn't caught off guard, wasn't surprised. Welcome to the room. From previous studies of the scripture, we're already aware of several pieces of information. We know that through Israel's history, they were given chance after chance, you know, opportunity, and they were given warnings to separate from the other people in the world, from other nations, and to stop their idol worship and their iniquity. We can look at some of those. Look at Exodus 33:16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So not only did God separate out Abram from the rest of the people on the earth in Genesis 12, here in Exodus 33, he separates the descendants of Abraham out from the rest of the people, all the people that are upon the face of the earth, he says. So let's look at Leviticus 20:24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Can't be holy unto God if they're like the other nations, in other words, like the rest of the world. And, you know, that that's fine if it would work, but nobody could keep the law. Nobody, you know, even the circumcision didn't. They had to keep bringing blood sacrifices. But Israel was separated by God, that's right, from the rest of the world. Leviticus 20:26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Look in Numbers. Numbers 23:9, for from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone. The people is Israel in the Bible. The people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So God severed Israel from other people and told them to be separate from other nations. God, the Lord is holy. Israel was to be holy, set apart. And that's part of the reason why they were not to intermarry. And that's a more commonly known fact of their not being allowed to intermarry. Anyway, God made that division. And God is neither nation shopping, nor is he Bible shopping. It's an actual thing that happened, that God divided there, and it was the right thing for him to do, or he wouldn't have done it. But they were not to be like other nations. And Israel repeatedly was told to stop their idol worship, to stop their iniquity, their going away from God. They, you know, God would bring them back, and their natural tendency would be to just go back into idol worship, worshiping other gods, offering up their own children on the fire altars to other gods, to Molech. So we know that Israel consistently returned to the idol worship and iniquity and going away from God. We also know that in his earthly ministry to the circumcision, in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus Christ warned Israel of their what would be their unforgivable sin when it would come, when they would do it. He told them beforehand so they would know it, so the rest of us would know it too. The Lord had overlooked Israel's going astray throughout history, over and over. However, here he's telling Israel that there's going to be a time, there's going to be an unforgivable sin, and don't cross that line. And he spelled it out for him. Let's look at those verses on the screen there. Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, now that's either that's a real strict definition of blasphemy, or it's even tighter, a tighter statement than blasphemy. Just speaking a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. And that's what happened on the cross, isn't it? Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They were forgiven. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Unfortunately, it doesn't say never. It's that world that they were in and the world that the Lord knew was coming. So we also know that in Acts 7, Israel did fall from their favored position with God by committing that unforgivable sin when they stoned, well, Saul of Tarsus included. He was standing there in agreement, taking care of the clothes for the people that stoned Stephen to death as he was speaking words from the Holy Ghost. They martyred Stephen, and it was a blasphemy because they were blaspheming against the Holy Ghost that was speaking through Stephen to them. Jesus Christ foreknew that Israel would reject their Messiah from being their king, and he foreknew that ahead of time that Israel would blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And that's why he said in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, John 9, 4 and 5, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh. The night cometh when no man can work. There you have it. Day and night. Light and dark. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus was the light. The world was dark. They needed him, but they put him on a cross. However, God wasn't surprised. He knew it all ahead of time, as we've said. And we need to keep remembering that. And that's why Jesus said in John 12, verses 35 and 36, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness should overcome you, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And we saw an example of that earlier when someone came into the room and started trying to post lies. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. Now this, I'm not reading this to you. Well, I am reading it, but it wasn't stated to us. This was Jesus Christ speaking to Israel, not to the Gentiles. He was sent to Israel, not to, he said he sent his disciples the way he was sent, and he said not to go to the Gentiles. At that time, they weren't to go to the Gentiles. And in fact, in Matthew 10:23, he tells them that they won't get to go to the Gentiles till he comes back to earth. So, going on, in verse 36 of John 12, these things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. The door was closing already. They had made their decision. They were against him, after Israel rebelled at the cross, and when they had, by the time they had blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, that was their unforgivable sin. And Scripture shows that Israel actually committed the prophesied blaspheming of the Holy Ghost in Acts 7, verses 51 to 59. So, if you're not aware of that, I hope you'll read that through in Acts chapter 7, fifth book of the New Testament, starting at about, well, you could read all of 6 and 7, really, and get a better picture, but the actual casting or fall of Israel there due to the blaspheming came in verses 51 to 59. So after listening to Stephen's message to them, including the high priest of Israel was there, and the council, and the scribes and elders, and the people, and they heard him, Stephen, talk to them about Israel's history and their frequent going away from God and going astray as sheep do. It ends with, let's look at these four verses here. Acts 7, 51, 55, 58, and 59. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised. Talking to the high priest, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. But, and this is verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, talking about Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Stephen was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So when Israel blasphemed the Holy Ghost, they fell as a nation. And they had been favored by God from Genesis 12 through Acts 7, but no longer. God never again offered the kingdom from heaven to Israel at that time, or for that time. Israel had expelled the light from their nation, and they fell into darkness. There's no other way, you know, if you expel the light, you're left in darkness. God will keep his promises. They were promises to Israel, and that's part of the promise. He'll keep those promises in the future. But at that point, back then in Scripture, in Acts 7, Israel fell. And by Israel's fall, a different salvation is come to the Gentiles. Different than the Israel-related salvation offered before Israel's blinding and casting away. So God did something new, and he calls it a pattern. He did it first in Paul. That same person is Saul of Tarsus that was standing there holding their coats, participating in the blasphemy. He uses the word protos, from which we get our word prototype. It's a different salvation than Israel's was. Different than was even offered to Israel. And there are many differences. We can go through those differences, but we'll figure on doing that at a different time. According to Matthew 24, verse 14, God reserved Israel's gospel and their salvation for a future time. And we know from other verses that it's when Christ returns that they're saved. They're not saved yet. Those thousands of believers there in the church at Jerusalem, Church of God at Jerusalem, not saved. They were believers. They were to endure unto the end to be saved. And that's what other verses, Zechariah 13:1 and some verses in Hebrews, they all refer to that. So here we see some verses that state what I was just describing. Look at Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So, and, you know, it's the end comes after Christ comes back to earth, because it's not until Christ comes back that Matthew 10:23 says they go out of Israel. They won't get out of Israel until the Lord returns. The only time marker in Matthew 24:14 is the end. God blinded and cast away Israel at the end of Acts, and Israel and their gospel of the kingdom are no longer functional. They don't work. You can't get to God by those statements to Israel about their kingdom, their coming king, the Messiah, about keeping the law. All those things from Exodus to Acts 7, that was their limit. I mean, they'll be in effect again after the body of Christ is taken up to heaven, but they're not now. The end spoken of in Matthew 24:14 has not come yet. The Bible says that before the end, Israel's gospel of the kingdom will be preached again, and this time in all the world. So therefore, there's a gap. If you believe in a gap, there's a gap at that point. A gap in the preaching of Israel's gospel. Today we're in that gap. Israel's gospel of the kingdom is not valid. It's not preached. Look at Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled? Yeah, Israel stumbled at the cross. You remember Romans 9, 32 and 33. Romans 9, verses 32 and 33. Wherefore, because they sought... How'd they fall? We should go back a verse, actually. Romans 9, 31. In fact, you can go back further, but we'll start at 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or how come? Why? Because they sought it not by faith. And he goes through a proof of that, the reasoning, and how that it's true that they did not believe that Jesus was their Messiah and that he rose from the dead. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So they stumbled at that stumbling stone and rock of offense. And that is explained to Israel by one of Israel's apostles there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Wherefore, also, it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But now this is talking to Israel. Peter, Israel's one of Israel's 12 apostles, talking to Israel. He says, unto you, not you listening to me, but unto you, Israel, therefore, which believe that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead, that they were to believe, unto you he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, they disallowed Jesus Christ, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8 in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. God foreknew what they would do. But we will continue. Look at the rest of the verse. We started with Romans 11:11. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. They did stumble, yes. We saw that in other scriptures. But was the purpose that they would fall? Did they have to fall? The fall was that unforgivable sin. When they fell as a nation, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. The verse is asking, though, after Israel stumbled by crucifying their Messiah, did they have to go on to fall as God's favored nation? No, they did not have to fall. They could have caught themselves. In fact, they did for a while. They had a year called the acceptable year of the Lord, and they could have, you know, repented, changed their mind about who their Messiah is. Repenting, you know, the meaning is changed. It really means change your mind. Doesn't mean stop doing your sins. That it's come to mean since radio and television have come in. But and works oriented teachings that are not scriptural have come in. But they didn't have to go on in sin. They could have caught themselves and not continued going further astray from God. Just like Cain. Remember Cain in the Old Testament in Genesis there? He offered the wrong sacrifice. And God said, Genesis 4 verse 7, he said, if thou doest well, there's a condition there, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He could have come back. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Well, Cain chose sin. He chose to remain rebellious in his attitude against God. And that's what Israel did. They did not repent, as Peter preached. They continued on and committed the unforgivable sin a year later in Acts 7. That, you know, that was the expiration of the acceptable year of the Lord. It was over then. They had, God gave them, just like when you pay your bills, you might have a grace period there that they allow you. The Lord gave them an extra year after the 69th week of Daniel. They got an extra year put in the middle there. It started out as the 70th week. It started, you know, Peter said, this is that which the prophet prophesied, and quoted some of the scripture of the tribulation time. But it ended up being the acceptable year of the Lord, and not taken away from those 7 years. So, the verse says again, Romans 11:11, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, in other words, it was not God's will that they should continue rebelling and fall, but God allowed it, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That's when our salvation came about, not Jesus walking the dusty trails in the Promised Land, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was all about Israel. Our salvation comes through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Think about it. God promised to curse those that curse Israel and to bless those that bless Israel. Well, we're not, you know, the Gentiles were separated. Israel was, I should say, was separated from the Gentiles. And we were not blessers of Israel. There were a few called Greeks that blessed Israel. But what about the rest of us? Today, we don't have a chance to bless Israel. So it was through their fall that salvation came to the Gentiles. God couldn't offer our salvation as cursers of Israel until they had fallen and unforgivably broken that covenant. Their end of it, God, you know, God doesn't break his end, and he will bring them back. But while they're in stubborn rebellion against God and his covenant and his promise, God brought salvation a different way through Paul, First Timothy, again, 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16 shows that he was the beginning of what he's doing today. Rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. So this verse says that salvation came to the Gentiles. Which Gentiles? The ones that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. And remember where we started out too. For I would not, and this is Romans 11:25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. In other words, it's not your own doing. It's not, you haven't caused Israel to fall. Listen to this. I'll tell you a secret. I don't want you to be ignorant of this secret or this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Then you can see Israel gathered and the resumption of the fulfilling of prophecies that were given to them again. Resumption again. And you'll see the beginning of Revelation chapter 1. Okay, I'm done for today. Questions? Time for questions, confirmations.